It's Holy Thursday, and the Sacred Triduum begins. Welcome to today's podcast. This is Father John Zolsdorf. The Roman station for Mass of the Last Supper is at the Bishop of Rome's Cathedral Church, the Archbasilica of St. John Lateran. Traditionally, on Holy Thursday, the Bishop of Rome celebrates two Masses, the Chrism Mass and the Mass of the Last Supper. In the Lateran Basilica, it is moving to see the head of the College of the Apostles, the successor of Peter, in the head of the Basilica, which is the apse. Because the nave of the church is flanked with the rest of the college, the heroic statues of the other apostles, carved between 1705 and 1718. I always like to contemplate the statue of Bartholomew holding a knife and his own skin, and Thomas pointing with his famous finger toward the altar, where "My Lord and my God" are called down by the celebrating priest. The baldachin over the altar contains relics of St. Peter and Paul, and a table altar thought to be one used by Peter himself. From Benedict XVI's sermon for the 2012 Chrism Mass. All our preaching must measure itself against the saying of Jesus Christ, "My teaching is not mine." We preach not private theories and opinions, but the faith of the Church whose servants we are. Naturally, this should not be taken to mean that I am not completely supportive of this teaching or solidly anchored in it. In this regard, I am always reminded of the words of St. Augustine, "What is so much mine as myself? And what is so little mine as myself? I do not own myself, and I become myself by the very fact that I transcend myself, and thereby become a part of Christ, a part of his body, the Church." If we do not preach ourselves, and if we are inwardly so completely one with him who called us to be his ambassadors, that we are shaped by faith and live it, then our preaching will be credible. I do not seek to win people for myself, but I give myself. The curé of Ars was no scholar, no intellectual, we know that, but his preaching touched people's hearts because his own heart had been touched. The last key word that I should like to consider is zeal for souls, animarum zelus. It is an old-fashioned expression, not used much these days. In some circles, the word soul is virtually banned because, ostensibly, it expresses a body-soul dualism that wrongly compartmentalizes the human being. Of course, the human person is a unity destined for eternity as a body and a soul. And yet that cannot mean that we no longer have a soul, a constituent principle guaranteeing our unity in this life and beyond earthly death. And as priests, of course, we are concerned for the whole person, including his or her physical needs. We care for the hungry, the sick, the homeless. And yet we are concerned not only with the body, but also with the needs of the soul, with those who suffer from the violation of their rights or from destroyed love, with those unable to perceive the truth, those who suffer for lack of truth and love. We are concerned with the salvation of men and women in body and soul, and as priests of Jesus Christ, we carry out our task with enthusiasm. No one should ever have the impression that we work conscientiously when on duty, but before and after hours we belong only to ourselves. A priest never belongs to himself. People must sense our zeal, through which we bear credible witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us ask the Lord to fill us with joy in his message, so that we may serve his truth and his love with joyful zeal. Amen. From Divine Intimacy by Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And in those last intimate hours spent in their midst, he wished to give them the greatest proof of his love. Those were hours of sweet intimacy, but also of most painful anguish. Judas had already set the price of the infamous sale. Peter was about to deny his master. All of them within a short time would abandon him. The institution of the Eucharist appeared then as the answer of Jesus to the treachery of men, as the greatest gift of his infinite love in return for the blackest ingratitude. The merciful God would pursue his rebellious creatures not with threats, but with the most delicate devices of his immense charity. Jesus had already done and suffered so much for sinful man, but now, at the moment when human malice is about to sound the lowest depths of the abyss, he exhausts the resources of his love, and offers himself to man, not only as the Redeemer, who will die for him on the cross, but also as the food which will nourish him. He will feed man with his own flesh and blood. Moreover, death might claim him in a few hours, but the Eucharist will perpetuate his real living presence until the end of time. O you who are mad about your creature, exclaimed St. Catherine of Siena, true God and true man, you have left yourself wholly to us as food, so that we will not fall through weariness during our pilgrimage in this life, but will be fortified by you, celestial nourishment. Today's Mass is, in a very special way, the commemoration and the renewal of the Last Supper, in which we are all invited to participate. Let us enter the church and gather close around the altar as if going into the cenacle to gather around Jesus. Here we find, as did the apostles at Jerusalem, the Master living in our midst, and he himself, through the person of his minister, will renew once again the great miracle which changes bread and wine into his body and blood. He will say to us, take and eat, take and drink. It was Jesus himself who made the arrangements for the Last Supper, choosing a large room and bidding the apostles to prepare it suitably. Our hearts, dilated and made spacious by love, must also be a large cenacle, where Jesus may come and worthily celebrate his Pasch. During the Last Supper, and coincident with his gift of the sacrament of love, Jesus also left us his testament of love, the living, concrete testament of his admirable example of humility and charity in the washing of the apostles' feet, and his oral testament in the proclamation of his new commandment. The gospel of today's Mass shows us Jesus as the Master washing the apostles' feet. It ends with his words, I have given you an example. That I have done, you also may do. It is an urgent invitation to that fraternal charity which should be the fruit of union with Jesus, the fruit of our Eucharistic communion. He mentioned it in precise words at the Last Supper. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Thank you for listening. This is Father John Zolsdorf. Please pray for me as I will for you.